Welcome along to the Let's Get Running podcast. We're doing this while Jermaine is cooking his dinner. What are you having, Jermaine?
I've got chicken, breadcrumbs, you know, quality stuff. Yeah. Corn on the cob.
Yeah.
Some salad, mashed potato.
Yeah, he's you making know,
the easy dinner.
Lovely. For you and the girlfriend, do you have a sitting down for dinner tonight?
Well, she's still at work, so okay. I'm cooking before she gets back.
Okay. So you better get on. We're gonna talk running in between times. So if you hear banging about, that's Jermaine chopping stuff up.
No. I'm a paperback chef. You know. Paperback. Everything goes in the oven or in a microwave. Paperback.
Yeah, the paperback chef. The poor man's Usain Bolt, the camera kid. Call him what you like. He's all free. But hey,
so what's been happening?
I've been training. Well, I've not really been doing much training because I've been tired, but I've been doing some treadmill training. I did a fartlek today, which is all good. I'm off to London tomorrow, which is Thursday. So recording this the day it comes out, but I'm off to London to do a presentation at a company called, or it's a shared workspace called Republic. And I'm going in there to talk about how you can fit in exercise if you are short on time. So I'm going to do that, which is going to be fun.
I thought you were going to say in short. Yeah. How to fit in exercise if you're short. I thought you were going to say.
I got some tips about that. Yeah. Which is go in and get yourself one of those stretching machines. Stretch yourself out and make yourself a bit taller. Then you'll be fine. Yeah, so that should be fun. I'm going to talk about exercise, but yeah, mostly about running because that's what I know. But we're going to talk a lot about how to fit it in and to stop making excuses. My main message is stop making excuses because there's plenty of people out there that do it.
It's easy to preach because every time I hear you say something else come up.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say, listen, I'm trying to run a podcast. I've got a company. I've got a baby. I'm a full-time dad. I'm still running. I'm still trying to compete.
Don't worry. I'm getting the people running. They're backing up that big violin. Yeah. They're backing up. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying stop playing everybody else. Like, I'll take my violin with me. Yeah. So that should be good. I'm going to complain. Hopefully, nobody who go to Republic will be listening to this because I'll have revealed my my main message. But anyway, that should be fun. Be nice to be back in London for a day. I'm going to enjoy that. Enjoy the Eurostar. But anyway, that's a bit boring.
So you're doing there and back in a day?
Yeah. Morning and going back in the night. You can do it these days. It's 3 hours in the
Yeah, but you're going to be tired, man.
Yeah, I'll be fine. I'm going to do a nice little run around as well. I'm going to run from Canary Wharf to Moorgate. I'm looking forward to that. I like running in London. Even though there was that story, wasn't there, last week? Did you see that? The guy, some idiot, said runners should be banned from London's busiest places. It was some guy in some two-bit blog paper. He just basically said it to be controversial, but he says something about how it's, you know, they're taking up all the space in London and stuff. And, you know, did you see that article? But hey, yeah, I'm not going to mention his name because it's basically just clickbait and everyone's talking about it, but it's not even worth the time. But hey, because you run in London, you've been running a bit, haven't you? You're getting yourself back in shape?
I have to, Blimmin. Going to get my ass whooped on the RAF soon, so I need to get in some shape.
Yeah. Are you still in that race in Amsterdam?
We're talking about shape. I'm only doing 30-minute runs.
Okay. That's okay. But you'll slowly get back in there. Talking about shape, did you see that thing with Ailish McColgan this week? She's interesting, Ailish, on Twitter. You should follow her if you don't. She's former interviewee, obviously. One thing she put is she's never done a double. She doesn't do double training. She's obviously a professional athlete. You'd think they'd be training, doing doubles all the time and stuff, but she does one run in the morning, almost not that long. I think she said she's doing 40 miles a week, I think. And then she does cardio in the night. She does aqua jogging, that sort of thing. So that was interesting.
If you do a monster session, then you could do one.
Do one what?
Just one session. If you do a monster one.
Yeah, but I don't think she's doing a monster session though. But anyway. But she was. It was interesting how her approach to training kind of quite varies from everyone else. And another thing, she's been in the national news this week for some. She had. She's obviously sponsored by ASICS, and ASICS put some photos of her up online. Obviously, Ailish is tall and she's slim, and obviously Twitter is a place for trolls. So they put these photos up at ASICS, and it got all this stuff saying oh, she's too skinny in my opinion, all this sort of stuff. It was kind of. All this kind of rubbish. And Ailish came out and said, it's none of your business what I look like. It's none of your business you know, my body is my body, and I am fit and healthy, and I am a good weight for my career and my body. So it's none of your business, which has been picked up across the news, which is a good message, and it's been picked up across the news. Interesting.
Well, yeah. Well, but you see fat runners running fast. So if it's whatever weight that person is and they're running fast, it doesn't matter, because if they're running fast, they're running fast.
Yeah. Her job's to be to run fast. She's doing that. She's running faster than she ever has. Doesn't matter, really. As long as she's healthy, she's running, and she is, that's cool. So, yeah, people just like to say stuff, don't they, on the internet?
What, like us?
Yeah, like us. We like to say stuff. We don't have anything too controversial in our opinions, do we? Surely not? I don't know, but hey.
No, we're just wind-up merchants.
Yeah. How's the bus? Have you been winding up any more customers on the buses this week?
Tottenham Court Road and Charing Cross Road is wham at the moment. So traffic. Last week I was on lates. People were getting on, and this man's asking me a question, and I'm looking in my curbside mirror.
Yeah.
And it looked like someone was trying to steal my front wheel.
Really?
And I started panicking. So the man's talking to me. I stood up in my chair, and I'm trying to look over, kind of, what's that guy doing? And he's answering a question. I'm like, get out of the way. And I was trying to open the door.
Yeah.
And then the guy comes up and he had a cloth in his hand. And I was like, okay. Yeah. And then he started cleaning the floor. And then he went to the bus in front and started cleaning the back bumper and the number plate. So basically, this guy was off his head, and he was just trying to clean buses with some cloth. I just thought he was tampering the wheels, and I was like, shit, if I pull off, and bloody, you know, like one wheel's going to go rolling down to the pavement, you know?
That would have been funny. What kind of guy is this guy trying to clean in buses? If it was you, listeners, and you saw your name, please email in and let us know what was that.
Is a listener trying to wind me up, probably.
Yeah.
No, this person was definitely a drug user.
It weren't a
listener.
Yeah. Speaking of listeners, which we love them all. Are you clapping? What's that? What's going in the oven now?
That's popping my microwave mashed potato. I've got the corn and the cob on the boil.
You are a culinary genius. It's going well. But speaking of listeners, we've had a request from a listener, Steve Maron, a good guy, always gets in touch. And he asked if we could start doing a section on the show, which is Ask Your Questions, which is quite a cool thing. So you can ask questions to me and Jermaine. And what I'm going to try and do, if you go onto our Facebook group, Facebook.com/, I think it's Let's Get Running Podcast, but go to Let's Get Running and you can probably direct yourself from there. I'll put a link on these show notes. You can ask questions to either Jermaine or me, or forthcoming interviewees, which is quite a good little feature. We are actually, if you're listening to this, we are trying to get John Alban on. So if you don't know who John Alban is, he is the 2018 Sky Running Champion. He is also the 2018, and I think 4 years in a row, he's the OCR World Champion. So if you're doing obstacle course racing, basically. He's a Spartan world champion. He lives in Norway. He's quite an interesting, different athlete. So if you want to ask him a question, get in touch at letsgetrunning.co.uk. Or even better, you can send a recorded WhatsApp message to our WhatsApp line. So what you need to do is first of all, because of that security, you need to send me a message on that line. And then from there, you can then send us a nice little message. Once you've sent us one message and I've replied, send us that message and then you can ask a specific question. Now, I'm just going to quickly find the number. It's going to be okay. WhatsApp.
It's Sean Badman Hotline.
It's White Bad Devil. Man Hotline. Here we go. It's not on. So I'm going to put it on the show notes and I'm going to tweet it out. I'll tweet out our number. So if you haven't heard it here, do that. Send us a mad message. Do what you like. Send us a message about stuff. We'll ask you on album questions. We'll also, if you go to our Facebook group, you can see our forthcoming interviewees. We've got a couple of good ones planned. So that should be good. But we've got a topic to maybe have a chat about. But first,
go on.
Should we do news first? Let's do news first, yeah? Let's do the news. So the news is, bong. There's not much. Bong.
Bong.
Nothing much is happening in the world of athletics. Laura Muir's injured. Bong. That's Rogue. About it. The other bong is, what a great day at the European Cup. Not because Britain did. There's a few great British performances. Charlie Gricing was second. There's a few other good performances. I enjoy watching the women's steeplechase. But the main takeaway from that was the faux pas by the English British team managers, who for the 400 meter hurdles.
So basically, the chef de maison.
Yeah.
Chef de maison.
Yeah.
He cooked up the relay team.
Yeah.
And stuck the shot putter's name on there instead of Rabah Youssef.
It was hilarious. I don't know if he's a shot putter, discus thrower, but he basically was out there competing. He's brought himself. You know, he's getting lots of attention now, but. He was down to run the first leg of the relay. And it was like, that should be Rabah Youssef. And because it was late notice, they couldn't change around. So I reckon he should have run it anyway. I don't think he had the choice, but I reckon he should have run it.
That would have been so funny.
Yeah, yeah. But
imagine if he did. Yeah. GB would have been so far behind.
Yeah, it would have been hilarious. But the thing is, we shouldn't laugh, because it's like imagine if you, on your GB debut, you're going to try, obviously they've chosen four guys. Some of them would never run before. Okay. And you've gone out there and you're all set and you're all pumped, and then somebody doesn't put your name in properly. Man, I'd be pissed. That's really poor, isn't it?
Well, that's management. Chef, that's UKFLX right there.
Yeah.
That's what you get.
Yeah. Yeah. Again.
But Rabah Youssef's fine because it's not debut, but I know you're talking about the other people in the team.
Yeah. Imagine that. Yeah. So hang your head in shame, team manager. I know people make mistakes, but God, you got
chef. That's a bad chef. That's a bad chef.
Imagine name with his mashed pototoes. He's doing good, but this guy's doing, what is he doing?
Hey, I'm squeezing a lemon right now. Squeezing a lemon.
Yeah. So the other news is about my new world, the trail world. So, like, this weekend was one of the biggest mountain races in the world, Sierra Nevada. Really massive, big race. And we had lots of British guys in it. I think we had Robbie Simpson was fifth. Andrew Douglas, both great running performances this year. They've been running well. I think Robbie probably wanted to be finished a little bit further up, but they were fifth and sixth. But the winning time in both men's and women's races, the records went. So Kilian Jornet broke the record in the men's. And a guy that I've forgotten, I've forgotten his name already, from Eritrea, came in second. Now, in the women's race, the winner was Maud Matthijs. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But both her and the second place finisher for the men's, which is Petro Mani, they both tested positive for various drugs. Maud apparently was a fertility drug. So she claimed she was trying to get pregnant at the time. So she took that. She got away without serving a ban, but she had taken this drug. And Mamu had, he just held his hands up and he'd served his ban. He's an Eritrean fella. So two people, and I think another girl, I think an Italian lady in the top 10 of the women's, she's also served the drugs ban. Now, loads of people are coming out and saying the problem at the moment in the trail run community is there's no in-competition drug testing, or very little in-competition, and there's no out-of-competition drug testing. So basically, right, there's no drug testing at all, pretty much. And I think, is it Camille Harron? If I'm pronouncing that correctly, she's come out and said, you know, this needs to be looked at because you can't get away with it. You know, in every other sport, in athletics and in road racing, at least there is some kind of drugs testing. There doesn't appear to be any at all in trail. And it's a problem for the sport. They've got to sort it out. That was the takeaway. Some good performance though. Jim Walmsley of the US, he was third. Robbie Simpson, I mentioned him. He ran really well in the women's race. We had
He ran really well in a women's race.
Oh, no, sorry. I mean, we had the women's race. I mean, Judith Wider, she was another European. She was second for the women. And Italian Silvia Rampazzo, she was into third. So, I mean, yeah, it's a shame. There was loads of cloud. You know, there's a cloud hanging over that race. And, yeah, we'll see what changes in trail running over the course of the next few months. So it's ultras, you know, everything
well,
trail.
Anything with prize money and stuff, people are going to try and cheat, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately. And the problem is, and for me, right, on the doping debate, I'm not really that. It's hard. I feel a little bit, like, conflicted, because I think for the athletes, it's difficult, right? I don't necessarily blame the athletes for the problems. I think sometimes, like, they get forced into it, and it's not necessarily forced into it, but they're given a choice. And if you're living in Eritrea and you don't have a lot of cash and you're given a choice, well, you're going to take that choice. So I think there's a human story behind a lot of doping cases.
You take the drugs, right? And you think they don't have to pay the money they earn back. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't go to jail.
Yeah.
And in some countries, I know in Arab countries, age, they're not worried about that age. When they say my racing age is this and my real age is that,
yeah,
they're not worried. So, and obviously that is cheating if you're lying about your age. So some things, it's not seen badly.
Yeah. Well, they said that about the Spanish, didn't they? Culturally, cheating isn't frowned upon in Spain. So cheating isn't cheating until you get caught. Do you know what I mean? So everyone is keen. It doesn't mind a bit of cheating. They just worry about.
If they said, "Oh, you have to pay a huge fine,"
yeah,
and you go into jail, you watch how many people that stops taking drugs.
Yeah,
because they're like, "Boy, hang on, jail."
Yeah, it's hard. I think, and I think also, like you say, money, and there's agents and team managers and stuff that can make cash out of this. There's always going to be people cheating. That's just the nature of the beast. Everyone cheats in different ways in their lives. So my baby's crying in the background, if anyone can hear that. But anyway, let's leave that debate. I've tried to. I really went on the show to try and get a convicted doper to talk and have a chat about it, because I think that'd be quite an interesting perspective, why they did it, what position they're in.
Get Dwayne Chambers, but it won't be cheap.
Yeah. Well, I've tried to email Martin Fagan from Ireland, because obviously he came through. He was looking really strong about 2 or 3 years ago, but he's obviously gone through a bit of a doping ban. I'd just be keen to see what their perspective is, because there's a human story behind everything, right?
Well, the way Marion Jones and stuff, the way they see it, or Maurice Greene, they say they just assume everyone else is doping.
Yeah.
So they're thinking, I might as well. Look at the cyclists.
Yeah.
Most of the cyclists are doping. So they just say, if they're doing it, I'm going to do it, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting, from a British perspective, right? Because our attitude is always, with everything, we've got this really funny thing about this self-confidence in ourselves, that we do things the right way. Parliament does things right. This is complete bullshit, but everything's done right. We are, we really frown upon cheats and any kind of cheating. It's the British fair play. I'd be interested, I'd love to talk to a convicted British doper. But I don't think that really happens. Calm my ass off.
I think my problem is people that cheat, convince themselves they don't cheat.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So, when they're on TV saying, oh, so-and-so's terrible, all these cheats, they should be kicked out, and then they're cheating themselves.
Yeah.
If you're cheating, just keep quiet and just say nothing.
There's a lot of that. There's a couple of rumours I can't go into, because it would be, anyway. We don't want to get ourselves in any trouble. But, people who are loud about, that is terrible. If you're gonna do it, keep your mouth shut. The only cheating I definitely know about was I shouted at him, so it's fine, but Mo Adan cut a few corners in the Metropolitan League when I was about 22, 23, and I said, Mo, stop cutting the corners. That's the only cheating I've openly seen and called out. So that's the only perspective I can give on it, but hey, let's see.
I've seen someone cheat on the track. We was doing reps, and the water jump bit?
Yeah.
Is inside the track, obviously.
Yeah.
Not obviously, but on inside water jump.
Yeah.
So we're doing 400 repeats.
Yeah.
And this guy just kept cutting across the water jumping.
Yeah.
Because the group was so big, it was strung out like a big train.
Yeah.
So he's just cutting across. So he was with me at the back. We get to 300, and then he finished near the front.
Yeah.
And I said to the coach, I said, look, this guy's cheating. He said, no, I'm not. And he was convinced he weren't cheating. I said, yes, you are. I can see you going there. So the coach came at the top, and he didn't do it, and he stayed at the back. Yeah. And then he was really upset. He goes, why are you telling coach on me? I said, kid, you need to do the prep if you want to get back. Why are you cheating?
Call him out, Jermaine. Who was it?
His name's Yasef.
Yasef. Come on, Yasef.
Where was he from? It's from a dodgy little country. He changed to they brought him in to run for Qatar.
Okay, all right. Dodgy little country. You can't say that sort of shit to me.
He's a steeplechaser.
Okay, all right. You got to do the work. You got to put it in. You can't cheat. I'm having trouble not cheating, but I can. Actually, I'll cut this bit. Funny. One thing we were going to talk about because obviously we could talk when we had John was going to be on this show, but he couldn't make it. Unfortunately, the interview fell through. But we were going to talk about unconventional approaches to training. So, like, do you have like an have you ever like, had an unconventional approach? Like, we're talking what is a conventional approach to running? And we're like, everyone does a track session on a Tuesday. They'll do a tempo run in the week. They might do another session. They'll do a long run at the weekend. Like, have you always followed quite a traditional way of training, Jermaine, do you think?
I've only followed it when I was good. Yeah. But obviously, when I was running okay, yeah, it's the best way to get fit and stay fit and get, you know, fitter.
Yeah.
But because when you try other stuff, like just, you know, like when you're doing off season or yeah, you're like in chill out mode between races, like long periods.
Yeah.
Just doing jogging and one tempo, it just don't cut it. You need yeah, to like, you need to do the sessions and you obviously you need to like do the double runs and things. So it needs to be stacked up.
Yeah. But these guys, like Killian, who won Sierra's and out, and John Alban, who we were going to talk to, they spend the winter skiing. They get loads of base endurance from being out there, like cross-country skiing and stuff. And obviously, they are fantastic athletes. I think there's loads of different ways to skin a cat. And like, I think there's lots of different ways you can learn. I'm trying to think, me personally, the only thing I've done that's really unconventional is living in Amsterdam, trying to run up a treadmill to try and become a mountain runner. Well, that's pretty unconventional. Well, but
Lassie Viron couldn't run because they didn't have indoor centres. He just used to do cross-country skiing. So it's obviously you adapt to where you live.
Yeah.
And then obviously try to make the most of it. But, you know, like people that live in London cycle a lot.
Yeah.
I say. So like that adds a bit to your training. So yeah, that's a bit like unconventional way of like keeping, they reckon if you do 40 minutes of cycling a day.
Yeah.
Every day, it works out to be an extra 5 miles of your running.
Does it?
In terms of like running fitness.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I've not done anything like people as well, these ellipticos. There's, have you seen these ellipticos? Like, there's a guy called Henry Dobber who drives around London in these ellipticos. Basically, like a cross trainer machine, but like they're mobile, like a bike. You've seen these things kicking about? And I'm sure there was one stage when Adam Goucher and Cara Goucher, husband and wife, they used to say they used to, like a large proportion of their training was on these big elliptical machines. But I don't know. I think, I guess cardio is cardio, like base endurance is base endurance. But I think you need, to be successful at any sport, you need specific like training. Either that's like specific marathon pace work, or you need specific technical work. Like if you're doing steeplechase, you need specific mountain training work.
Well,
you can't do anything without. You can do loads of
when base. When I was talking to like loads of triathletes yeah, and stuff, they say they get the fittest when they do more running training. Yeah. Obviously, they're not as good at the other technical sports, but they said when they do more running stuff, they get fitter.
Yeah.
And it helps them in all the stuff. Where rather than if they were just doing more swimming or more cycling,
yeah,
it doesn't help as much.
Yeah. Yeah. I think basically for me, if you want to be unconventional, if you want to do something different, your base endurance can be doing a wide variety of stuff. But anything you need to do specific has got to be specific to the event you're going to do, or else you can't do it, basically, can you?
But hey. Well, Dean, weren't you saying, to me, I'm a cross-country runner, I'm a track runner, being branded?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Do you, like, I don't, it's a difficult question, that, like, because I've always thought I'm a cross-country runner, and you've always pretty much thought you're a track runner. And has that held us back? Like, I've run 14:22 on the track, and I've only done that many. I haven't done that many track races. That's a 5K. So would I have run quick on the track if I'd actually just not been open-minded, if I'd been open-minded about how good I could be at the track? Do you know what I mean? And with you in cross country, you were fourth once in the counties, right? But still, you would have said...
In the counties, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have still... Only like, I wouldn't say I'm a cross country runner, but if you're in good shape, you can get away with cross country. Track's a bit different because if you're not speedy-ish, it's kind of hard, but if you're in good shape, I'm sure you could run a really good 10K on the track anyway, just the fitness.
Yeah, but I'm sure I pigeonhole myself a lot. Like I say, I'm that, and I'm not this. And I think it's a mistake to make. Like, and I'm too old in that now to worry about that. But when you're younger, when you're a young athlete, you're just a runner, man. You're just a runner. Like, don't pigeonhole yourself. Do try different stuff. It might work. Try different approaches and things, and it might. You never know. Try be open minded about how you're going to race and approach these things. But hey, but that's that. But we should get in touch, everybody. We want you to ask some questions to John. He's going to be on, if not next week's show, be on the week after. So if any questions to him about his training, obviously quite mad, quite different. He has no coach and no training plan. That was one of the things I read about John. So if you want to ask him how he gets away with that, then that's kind of interesting.
That's not consistent.
Yeah, that's not consistent. Yeah, I don't know how he's going to survive with that. But anyway, yeah, interesting guy. So if you've got any questions, do that. Go on our Let's Get Running /podcast. I'll put the number up if you want to send us a recorded message. That'd be really good. We'll play those out live on air, the questions, maybe to John or whoever is going to come up in the next interview. And I will put the list of the next interviewees coming up and the topics we're going to talk about in the next few weeks up on the Facebook page. Facebook.com/ Let's Get Running. And you can see those topics, so you can join in the conversation. So yeah,
yep.
What's the next week got in store for you, mate? You got anything planned?
Football, not yet. No, football's. I'm holding off on football.
Oh yeah,
I'm still kicking the ball against the wall, trying to get my touch better. So trying to get promoted. So just work, but football's coming. Football's coming, and then obviously. Next month, obviously, I start RAF training. Yeah. So that's going to be, there should be some funny stuff in there.
Yeah. Something's going weird off in my, hang on. Something's going weird off in my room. What's going on? I've got some treadmill sessions this weekend. I've got, I think, 10 times 3 minutes, pretty high. I think it's about 15%, I think. So I'm going to be doing that on Saturday, which is exciting. Got my first massage for a few weeks, so I'm looking forward to that. My arse is absolutely killing me.
Just don't get a boner. You laugh, but it's true. Do you know what the best trick is not to get a erection?
Go on, then.
Because it doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman.
Yeah.
They're massaging me, the blood starts flowing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, so I was thinking, I don't want to do a Mo Farah and get out with a boner. You know what? You've heard that story, right?
No, go on, tell me now.
So when we was in UK Athletics, we used to go to these centres and obviously get massages and stuff.
Yeah.
And this woman was massaging Mo.
Yeah.
And he got a boner, but it was on his back.
Yeah.
And she just stops and he said, "Oh, don't worry, just put a towel." And she was like, "No, this is that. this is that." So it's like obviously it's embarrassing. So but usually they start you on your belly.
Yeah.
And they sort of thrust your hips into the mat. And you're like, oh, shit. So what I do, I dangle my arms down.
Yeah.
And let the blood go into my arms. It works.
I've never had it. I've never had it. I've got to admit, well, I've never felt aroused.
maybe you're not getting touched enough.
Maybe that's it. I'm just thinking, what would my tactic be? I think I'd think of Katie Hopkins. Do you know that woman? Because I hate her so much that I think I'd think about her for a bit, and that would probably, you know, that would take away any kind of
because if you start thinking of stuff and they're talking to you, all of a sudden the conversation's gonna go sideways, and she goes, "What's up?" And then she's gonna know something's up. Where if you just casually just slide your arms down, he's relaxing out. I'm relaxing out.
Practical tips on the Let's Get Running show. Don't be Mo Farah. Dangle your arms. Let's do this. Nice one, right? Well, we'll leave everyone to it and we'll catch up again next week.
All right, see ya.
See ya. Bye bye.
Bye. Bye.